allegations of sexually inappropriate conduct towards young female law clerks at one of the country's top law firms and how they were dealt with. Victoria University has confirmed that students of its on a summer clerkship at Russell McVeigh complained about the actions of lawyers towards them at social functions in Wellington 2 years ago. The police were involved, but no charges have resulted. A newsroom.co.nz investigation reports that there was a pattern of sexually inappropriate behaviour towards young female student law clerks, which came to the attention of the universities at the highest level. Russell McVeigh has told media that the firm received, quote, serious allegations, unquote, about the events in Wellington 2 years ago, that a full internal investigation was conducted, and that those who were the subject of the allegations then left the firm. Newsroom also reports that of the 10 clerks placed with Russell McVeigh that summer, five women declined the offer of a full-time position. Russell McVeigh partner and board chairman Malcolm Crotty says the firm will speak with 9 to Noon. We're just working on that now. Victoria University's Vice-Chancellor Grant Guildford is with me first. Good morning.
Morning, Catherine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What can you tell us about what happened?
I can't tell you much about the incident at all, and the reason for that is primarily to protect the privacy of the young woman involved, but also because the file that the police hold on the allegations is most likely still open. They have informed me when we first looked into this incident that they do keep the files open for very long periods of time to give affected women the opportunity to think about the things that have happened to them and to make a decision in their own due time as to if they wish to push a complaint through to the police.
Newsroom.co.nz's reporting refers to three social functions: a Christmas function, one at a city venue, a third one at a city venue, and reports to reports of two older lawyers being involved. Also reports of a pattern of sexually inappropriate behaviour towards the female students. Does that broadly characterise what you are aware of?
Yes, it broadly characterises what I'm aware of.
How did the university become aware of what happened?
We have both formal and informal processes that we use, and we became aware through both channels at about the same time. The informal channels were simply that one of the alleged perpetrators appeared on our campus for a public function and came in close contact with one of the young women who had been sexually assaulted in the firm, and the adverse reaction that created in that young woman was observed by her friends and by the Law Students Association who were at the event. That was transferred to our people in the law faculty, who then began an investigation, and we identified through that informal means what had happened. But we also have a formal process where we encourage young women, or young men for that matter, in this situation to come forward, and that process had also been activated. That allowed us to get quite close to the matters quite quickly once we were aware of them, and included talking to an advocate for one of the young women who knew much of the detail. So whilst it took us a while to understand what had happened in the summer, once we were aware of it, we were able to gather the facts quite quickly.
Five female clerks on that particular program declined full-time positions at the end of the summer. And just reading Russell McVeigh's own publicity material about its internship programs, normally it basically takes the number of clerks it would need to fill the full-time positions. So pretty much it would be exceptional to turn down such an opportunity. Five did. Were there five clerks directly affected?
I really don't want to comment on the specific numbers. All I would say is that it was more than one young woman. And again, I don't want to comment, Catherine, because I don't want to risk the privacy of these young women being sort of tracked down by methodical work, etc. So let's just say there were more than one woman affected.
Did you have any involvement with respect to the police investigation, either by supporting those considering their actions or because you have at one step removed an interest in this?
Yes, so the allegations were brought to my attention very quickly by our staff, and my first contact with the police was to Mike Bush's office, and I did that because Mike and I are both he for she advocates who feel very strongly about these things in our workplace. And I called Mike's office to get advice on managing this in a way that would not interfere with any police investigation. Mike's office put me through to the people involved in the investigation, who are wonderful people in the sexual assault team in Wellington Central Police Station. They confirmed that they were investigating a complaint, explained that therefore there was very little that they could tell me, but more importantly helped me understand how the police support young women in the situation and how they approach the matter. And that is strongly determined by the young women themselves. Both the police and we as a university feel it's very important in these situations that the survivors of these incidents are the people who remain in charge of how the incidents are managed. And so both the police and we took strong guidance from the students and who were involved. That said, as a vice-chancellor, I have responsibility to the next set of summer clerks heading into a workplace like that. And so we did take it upon ourselves to contact Russell McVeigh to understand what they knew, what they were doing about the situation. That allowed us to form a view that collectively, as a group of universities and a group of law firms across this country, there was a need to improve the preparedness of our students heading into workplaces in the legal profession, and there was room for the legal profession to provide better support for those students, and particularly support in terms of preparing them for the workplace, but also actions across the profession about reducing risky situations like alcohol-fueled events, and also providing them a hotline to call. So that was outside the firm's own processes, so there was minimal barriers for picking up the phone and reporting such incidents should they be occurring.
Several universities have students obviously going on such internships at the highest level, the Vice-Chancellor's committees, at the Law Dean's level. Has what's happened here resulted in further rule changes, guidelines, interactions between the universities who have a duty of care to their students and the law firms who are offering these pivotal professional training opportunities? What's happened at that higher level?
Yes, so the New Zealand Vice-Chancellor's Committee discussed the matter, and most of us, not all of us, but most of us have law faculties, and so we were all very disappointed to understand what had gone on, but were determined as a group to ensure that we strengthened the processes that we are using to prepare young women in particular for this these workplace situations. So we were all very comfortable with the fact that we had good support for our students who had experienced such situations, good reporting mechanisms, and we've been working very hard on our own campuses to try and make sure that young women felt comfortable coming forward, and if they were in a situation like this, and if they did come forward, that they were properly supported, both from a health and well-being standpoint, but also from a legal advocacy standpoint. But what we felt we could do better was to get on the front foot and better prepare young women and young men heading into the workplace for difficult conversations should they be put in this position.
I mean, preparing the students is one thing. The responsibilities of the firm is another. It would be nice to think that anyone going into a workplace, let alone a student taking on a pivotal opportunity for their professional future, going into a circumstance where there is an obvious and significant power imbalance, would not need to be having to deal with these situations. And have you talked to the firms about what the rules are around social interactions, around the appropriateness of the relationships and the contact between fully employed lawyers, many of whom may be older and certainly more powerful, and people who are still university students?
Yes, so these positions are advertised positions by the law firms, and our students apply for them. So the workplace rules have to be set by the law firms themselves. We aren't in a position to say this must happen, this must not happen. We are, of course, in a position to strongly encourage those law firms to work in a more coordinated way in the best interests of young people in the workplace. And so that's what's happened. We've had long discussions with Russell McVeigh in the first instance, and then through Russell McVeigh and the law deans with other major law firms, and collectively put together a program of education and support for these students. However, once they're in the law firm's workplace, we do rely on acceptable and normal standards of behaviour to these students to protect their interests in that situation.
You see, the thing with normal is it suggests things as they are and have always been. And have you learned anything, not only from this specific situation, but from all the discussions that have been had consequently about the culture surrounding clerking programs at this firm or at others?
I think there's we have learned a lot about the culture around clerking programs and law firms that we don't like, and I don't think the profession likes as well. But I don't think we should suggest that this is a problem that is restricted to the law profession or to clerking. I've been a vice chancellor for quite some time, and I've been around these issues for quite some time, and they occur throughout the New Zealand workplace, small to medium enterprises, professional firms, universities, you name it. There is a widespread problem in this country around sexual violence to young women in our workplaces. And I think what has happened is that our employers, perhaps our society as a whole, understand the harm that the extremes of sexual violence, like rape, cause, but they do not understand the harm that the lesser side of the spectrum causes. When our young people go into these workplaces, this is a very big step in their move towards adulthood. They go in, they're often lacking in self-confidence. They may be struggling with things like low self-esteem or low sense of self. And when they get that job offer, it is a huge step along the path towards self-confidence. They begin to feel that they are achieving, that they're doing good things for our society, that people have recognised their abilities, recognised them as individuals and what they can bring. And then all of a sudden, they're assaulted. And what that then does is it brings their world crashing down around them. They then begin to think they were appointed not because of their abilities, not because of who they were, but because some asshole in a workplace wants to act as a predator and sexually assault them. That leads to all sorts of emotions, the loss of self-confidence that I've just referred to, but also guilt, which is, of course, completely inappropriate emotion, but is what many of these young women feel. Guilt that they didn't come forward, guilt that they put themselves in a situation which allowed this to happen. And, of course, none of that is an appropriate emotion, but it is what many of these young women feel. They also feel fear, the sense of a predator stalking around an office that they have to elude, that occurs day to day, creating anxiety. panic attacks, emotions and tears and the sense of vulnerability. These things, these emotions, these situations damage these young women for many, many years to come. And even in decades later in the workplace in New Zealand, you see the survivors of such sexual assault still struggling within workplaces many decades later. So I think for me, if anything good comes out of this, it is that we confront this as a society, understand the harm that this causes, not just at that rape end of the spectrum, but all the way down to the sexual harassment, the groping side, the inappropriate behaviour, and we just do our best to eliminate this from our workplace.
Thank you for your time. Grant Guildford is Victoria University's Vice-Chancellor. 23 and a half minutes past nine it is on 9 to noon. Newsroom.co.nz reporting that since the events, Victoria University of Wellington Law Students Society cut sponsorship ties with Russell McVeagh for their Women in Law event. We asked to speak to the Society's president. He's told 9 to noon this morning that at this time the Society does not have any comment on the matter as it is concerned with protecting the privacy of the victims. Listening in is Catherine Beck, president of the Law Society, who's been an employment lawyer for more than 20 years. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Has the Law Society had any involvement in this case?
Well, you will see from the newsroom.co.nz report that the executive director of the Law Society was approached and did work with the universities in relation to some of the programs that Grant has just been talking about.
Is there any other possible sanction available under the Law Society's own rules and regulations for the behaviour described? Independent of any police inquiry, do you have the ability to make an investigation?
The way in which our complaint system works is that anyone can make a complaint. So in this instance, it wouldn't necessarily have to be the young women that were affected. They can make a complaint about if a lawyer is the one that has behaved to them, towards them in this way, and that's certainly what appears to have happened here. They can make a complaint. We have an independent standards committee that has a layperson on it that would investigate that complaint. And then there are a variety of outcomes, including, for example, in the more serious cases, it being sent through to a disciplinary tribunal. So this sort of conduct, while we normally only regulate what we call sort of legal services, where someone's actually doing their job as a lawyer, this sort of conduct, if it's in a legal workplace, arguably really brings the profession into disrepute. It's what we call conduct unbecoming, and it would be something that if somebody made a complaint, we could look into it.
Same situation, though, as we've heard from the Vice-Chancellor, and as he indicated from the police, the wishes of the alleged victims are... at the moment, the priority. So again, unless that person, and it's entirely the priority is entirely with them. If that person doesn't wish to do so, then these people, alleged people involved, just carry on, right?
Yeah, I mean the problem is, and the principles and behind these things are that it's very important that the people involved are in charge of the process, and that you're not yet another person taking control away from them. But as I say, with our system, it doesn't necessarily have to be the complaint, the people that are affected by it that make the complaint. We have a broad complaint system that would enable somebody else to make a complaint about the same situation.
Right.
But again, somebody doing that needs to be really careful that they don't do it against the wishes of the people directly affected.
You've been a lawyer for 20-something years, partner in a law firm. You're the third female, I think the third female president of the Law Society. Correct me if that's wrong.
I am, yes.
You know this broader environment and have done for some time.
Yeah.
When it comes to the internship programs, is there a culture, and is that culture the appropriate one for 2018? And I don't wish to implicate every lawyer here. I'm talking about some. Does it happen? Has it happened for too long?
Listen, in terms of, I didn't go through the internship system, so that wasn't something that I personally experienced. you will see and you will hear comments on the various websites that I've been having a look at just recently. I think the internship programs, as you say, it's a pivotal opportunity for the young people coming into them. Have they always operated ideally in the past? No, I don't think so. Alcohol often has been a really huge feature. These young people get very excited at the thought of being able to engage in social events and have free alcohol. That puts them at risk, and the workplaces arguably, I mean, that's not the ideal situation. So that's the sort of situation that we're aware of. Are there the other broader situations that Grant was talking to? Listen, I think that happens in any workplace, including legal workplaces, including with the internships. And what we've really got to work on as a profession is to ensure that everybody understands what the rules are in the workplace, that they also understand that it applies even more so to these young people coming in who are transitioning, and that we have sort of a speak-out culture, that there are that they know they can speak out if something is happening that they're not comfortable with, but equally if somebody else sees something, that they can speak out and that something will be done about it.
Newsroom reports that that clerks, plural, did go to the company's HR department, which actually is a significant step to take in its own right when you're there on an internship. Your background is as an employment lawyer, so I'm interested in the rules around workplaces. And this is a law firm. These are grown-ups who get what rules are. Mm. I'm interested in whether or your comment on a way sufficient protections can be built into the rules here that don't rely on a student having to be prepared that when you go into this workplace, you may have to deal with this. Are there some obvious steps that could be taken that could build in some protections? And should HR officers at some of these firms be looking into them?
Listen, in terms of rules per se, really what we're talking about is culture within workplaces. It should be really clear to everybody in a workplace, including in particular the senior people, the partners in a law firm, the managers in within a law firm, and indeed in any workplaces, that certain behaviour is simply unacceptable, that you don't make inappropriate suggestions to your staff, that you don't stand too closely to them, you don't make lewd jokes, and you certainly don't touch them, unless somebody actually makes it expressly clear that they want to have a relationship with you with words like, I would like to have a relationship with you, leave them alone. That just needs to be really clear in all workplaces, that women aren't up for grabs. And that's a matter of educating people all the way through so that, one, these situations don't happen in the first place. Then if they do, that not only the person can speak out, but that if it is observed, that somebody else can speak out as well. Often these sorts of situations tend to arise at work functions, and so you can have rules around work functions that people that they only go to a certain time, that intoxication levels are monitored, that in fact people don't get intoxicated because that's when they start making bad decisions. Both the young people and the older people there. You can have rules around that, but equally it's around creating a culture where this sort of behaviour is simply unacceptable.
Catherine, thanks for your time. Catherine Beck of the Law Society, President of the Law Society. We're hoping to speak to the law firm Russell McVeigh during the morning.